Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go. Hello and welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm today's host, Dermot O'Donovan. I'm joined today by my fellow photographers and, more importantly, best friends. You could say we're best friends. They're even at my stag party at the weekend. We're all learning how to surf together. Well, I might rephrase that. I learned how to surf. They sat at the bar watching me, drinking pints, laughing at me as I fell off my surfboard. However, anyway, so we have Darren Spooney from the People's Republic of Cork. How are you doing, bye?
Good, Ben. How are you? Excited to get on this. This is going to be fun.
Of course you're excited. You're in good company.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hashtag.
Great stuff. True story. True story. Anyway, so also with us, okay, is John Myler from Dublin, but trying to blend in with some people in Shannon, County Clare. Talking about blending in, John, have you shaved your head yet?
How's it going there, buddy?
So you can look like me. By doing this, you would be more aerodynamic and it'll enable you to take better pictures. So you need to shave your head, buddy. All right?
Tell me, do I sound like a dub or do I sound like a Clare man now after all these years?
Still a dub, buddy.
Good, good.
Still
good.
A dub.
Once a dub, always a dub, huh?
I don't know about that.
As for anyway, so guys, speak slow, Darren, for your first one, okay?
No subtitles
here, pal.
Ah, yes. We will see over time how humorous that statement will become.
Ooh.
Anyway, so guys, so to all our listeners, I would like to explain how our podcast will work each week. There will be a rotating host. Myself this week, John, you're next week, and cool. Then Darren the week after that. So, and then on the fourth week, we hope to have a special guest on, if possible. We do have some special guests lined up, but it's just a matter of time getting them in and getting them prepped for these episodes. And they should be good fun. We've got a guy who owns his own drone business coming in soon enough. We have another guy, an event photographer, and so on and so forth. We have more wedding photographers, and you get what I'm on about. So it's not just primarily all about landscape photography. The strategy that we hope to put into place is having two topics chosen by the week's host, and then all three photographers will debate. Also, we'll have other segments which are in the pipeline for future episodes. We are in talks with a very well-known Irish photographer that travels the world to come on monthly to let us know what's going on with him and just to have a general bit of crack. We will also bring news to the table when it presents itself to us and some gear reviews which will be tried and tested by no one other than ourselves. So we aren't going to just say, look, this is a great piece of gear to have if we haven't even tried it ourselves. You can also check us out on Facebook at the Irish Photography Podcast, and you will have to do a few things, okay? You'll have to click to join. When you will be asked to, you will be asked a question when joining, and all you have to do is just name a host of this podcast. First name will do, just Dermot, John or Darren. This way we can keep the spam and the scam and the bots out of the Facebook group, and it's just an easier place for all of us to be. You won't be asked to take out a loan by some guy in Taiwan, okay? It's just better for us all. So we hope you'll stay with us in our journey, that we've all encompassed ourselves to deliver this podcast, and that you will learn a thing or two. And also us, I'm sure we can teach Darren something. We will all make mistakes along the way, but we will thrive by learning from our mistakes and get better each week. I know the three of us are primarily landscape photographers, but I make my income from being a professional wedding and portrait photographer, and I have a background in many facets of photography due to being in college studying advanced photography. John himself has worked in the past for a newspaper in Clare, delivering sports photography and getting the odd job here and there, from products, portraits, wedding and mindfulness photography workshops. Darren bucks the trend here as being more of an advanced hobbyist photographer and a very promising up-and-coming YouTuber. So I find Darren's approach to photography very refreshing, and the fact that nothing is commercially driven from his side, and it makes it that bit better. So guys, welcome to the podcast.
How's it going, pal? How are you?
Great that intro, by the way.
Good. That was just a fantastic intro. Dad, take a bow.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You'd even swear you had that prepared.
You're having me on. That was all off the cuff. Boom, boom.
Well, I know people can't see us, and they'll probably be able to see us down the line, but you're looking well, boys. You've been out getting the sun.
Of course I'm looking well.
Yeah, you know, I was in a place there last weekend called Le Hinch, I think it was.
Mm. And you remember,
do you? Kind of got burnt there by the sun, all right, so it was a really good day. But you know what? The summer is here now, so everybody feels good in the sunshine, right?
Absolutely. Everybody's That's happy correct. When the sun's shining.
Except photographers. Well, except landscape photographers, actually. I must requote that.
We can debate that later on.
Actually, yes. True story. Yeah.
What were you in Le Hinch for?
I was in Le Hinch for you. I mean, you don't remember?
I don't know. Maybe I do.
Actually, lads, will we let the sober person talk about that, no?
Well, it is, boys.
Yeah, I suppose, look, John, you were the only person that had a camera in your hand. So, sure. You know, that's going to be a testament to how you remember the day. And I suppose, you know, from the length of time that we know each other now, actually, you know what? Maybe we should explain to the listeners how we do know each other, should we?
Absolutely.
Yes, well, that's part of our two topics today, guys, I have personally picked, okay? So the first topic today is going to be about who we are, what we are, where we're going, okay? How we met and what generally went on in our lives from our photography paths. Okay, so I'm actually going to start, okay? I'm going to tell the people where I started with photography. So back in September 2013, I bought my first camera. And from there, just steamrolled from just taking general pictures of this, that and everything. And slowly but surely, I recognized that, okay, I'm actually kind of good at this. So then I enrolled myself in a night course. From there then, I went on to college, full-time education in LCFE. And from there, I got an honors diploma in advanced photography. So that's how I started photography. So now I'm going to move on to how I met John. So John and I met each other online on Facebook. I know, I'm telling you. Yeah. So generally, we saw each other's photographs on a page called, was MLP Open at the time, was it?
It was, yeah.
It was definitely MLP. And so we started chatting. So John started kind of stalking me, you know, and sending me messages all the time. It was a bit worrying, to be honest with you. But we had a lot of things in common. He liked basketball, okay? So I love basketball. And then he said, look, the Milky Way is coming up soon enough, right? And would you like to go to the Cliffs of Moher to photograph the Milky Way, the belly of the Milky Way? And I had never done it before. I said, jeez, I'd love to give it an all crack. Like, yeah. But I didn't play as if I didn't know what I was doing. I genuinely didn't. But I was there going, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm totally awesome. I know what I'm doing. But he had a bit of a basketball team out in Shannon. So he said, would you like to come out and play? So I said, yeah, sure, why not? So I went down anyway. Within fucking 5 minutes, I'd sprained my ankle and I could barely walk. And so...
And that, the truth be told there, yeah? I always remember you watching there and you you went down your ankle, yeah? And the first thing I could think of when you went down your ankle was the Milky Way. How is he going to get up to the Cliffs of Moher? And I'm so sorry and I apologise now. I always remember looking at you on the ground and I'm kind of going, oh, mother of God. And I'm trying not to curse here. But I always remember thinking, oh, my God, we've got steps to climb. He's hobbling around. But I have to say, you played well that night, you know. And you're fair to see.
For all five minutes.
Yeah. But you did hobble on. You did hobble on up to the cliffs and off you went.
Man, that was a tough night. Just, do you know what? I was ecstatic that the fact we got there and we had the whole place to ourselves. It was just like a playground for a child. You know, when you just see everything and everything is yours, you know, we were there for, what, 4.5 hours just photographing.
We got there at about 10:30. And I remember we left at about 3:15, 3:30 a.m. that night.
Wow.
That was a cracking night. And you're certainly, I know we'll probably talk about this again, but you certainly didn't plan it, yeah? Do you remember the conditions? Do you remember the whole reasoning why I asked you out that particular night? Because there was a meteor shower, for one.
You asked him out?
I asked him out, yeah. Should we meet online, Darren?
Sure. Hold on a second. I don't plan anything.
No, you don't plan nothing. So we had the meteor shower. We had no moon. The skies were clear. There was no wind. And off we went. And that was a cracking night, Dad. I remember we got a couple of nice shots up there that night. But the one memory I have, and Darren, you'll probably like this as well. Because we met online and then we asked about on the date, we actually lay down on our backs. Do you remember that, Dad, beside each other? And we watched the shooting stars go over our heads. Do you remember?
I do. Do you know what? And there's a reason for it. Because do you remember I said to you, we need to actually stop taking photographs for a while and appreciate what's in front of us. Because we were just photographing. We were seeing everything through the lens. And it was almost like a shame to miss it with your own eyes. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
And like we almost just put away the cameras for 20 minutes and two of us actually just lay down on our backs and just looked
just
up.
Just took it all in. That was,
it was so romantic.
That was, it wasn't romantic, but it was a great experience, in fairness. Right beneath O'Brien's Tower, huh?
It was.
Who would you to do it again? We bring Darren with us this time and he can go in the middle.
As a chaperone, is it?
Speaking of Darren, John led me to Darren, right? So John was telling me about this... this guy called Darren, and he runs the MLP page, and he was coming up to clear to photograph the Wild Atlantic Way, and I was there going, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Like, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I must, because John is always talking about Darren, saying how cool he is and all this, and I was there going, I'm going to meet this whole Darren character anyway, so.
Look at the size of Darren's head on the screen there, lads.
Sure.
It's massive.
It's always that big, but it's okay. I'm from Cork, you know. We're well balanced, as I keep telling you. We've got a chip on both shoulders.
Oh, very good.
Well, you know what the interesting thing for me was, is that how I met both of ye, because, you know, as you said, it's uncanny, Dad, because when I set up MLP, which is Munster Landscape Photographers, and there was a few people from the whole Cork, I suppose, Kerry, you know, Tipperary, Waterford area, and then I had this guy from Dublin, and I was like, okay, what's he want to get involved in MLP for? But not only that, he wasn't from Dublin. He was actually living in China. So I kind of said, okay, it's a bit strange. And then he sent me a picture that he took of the skyline of China. And I straight away I went, okay, yeah, this guy knows how to take a shot. So he wasn't just a kind of a guy who was stalking me, like you say, on Facebook. So I started chatting with John then from there. And I actually met John one afternoon in Cork. He was up in Cork City. And I met him for about an hour or so like that. We were shotting out in Kilcrae Friar. You remember that, John?
Yeah, it's great. That was great, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'd met John before I met Dad, and then I went up to shoot this place that John loves and thinks it's the best place in the world. I was okay, it's a load of rocks, but sure, I'll go and have a look at it. It's called The Burren. And this other guy then, Dad, from Limerick, rocks up. And do you remember the house that we found? Do you remember we passed this house and we made a beautiful photo? If I could find that photo, actually, I might throw it up on the Facebook page, because that was an amazing house that we actually passed in the middle of the burn, if you remember that.
Are you sure that wasn't Father Ted's house, Darren?
Is that No. Is that the creepy house at all?
Yeah.
The creepy dolls and
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah,
do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
is that the house?
Yeah.
Man, that was creepy as hell.
And am I right in saying that you got out there, you got out, Dad, as you would, and you went over, and you had to have a little look. We won't say what you did, but you had a few gestures around there.
We won't
go down there.
We won't say anything.
Yeah, that's good. That was a great house. Very, very interesting place.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, obviously you guys had met up before that, but we went off out to the Cliffs of Moher, as you're correct in what we said. I remember a lovely drive down along the whole coastline, and we arrived for sunset, actually, and it's still a shot that I look on quite often that we got of the cliffs there, and it was really nice, you know, and I kind of figured, all right, this guy, you know, John, I'd met him once before, and it's the second time, and then this crazy guy from Limerick called Dodd, and we got on quite well. I think actually the picture we took at the end of the day there... We actually still have that picture. We'll probably talk about how we took that picture at some stage, you know, down the line in the different styles of photography. But, you know, I think that was where it kind of started from. And then, as you say, Dad, we kind of been chatting away and we've gone out and shooting together. I've gone down to Kerry into Killarney. I've met John on a number of occasions. I've met Dad on a number of occasions. We've gone shooting together. And you know what? I think what I like about the pair of you, and the reason why I kind of keep talking to both of you, is that, you know, you're both similar but different at the same time, but we share a passion, and it's the passion for photography. And I think, you know, it was encouraging to hear you say that there at the beginning, Dad, but, you know, there's nothing commercially orientated for me in photography, and you're dead right. I mean, look, it's very hard to make money from a landscape photography point of view, but When you do, it makes it even nicer. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what the three of us, I suppose, can bring to this podcast. I think the listeners are going to really enjoy what we have to say. We don't always agree in real life, so I don't think we're going to agree on the podcast, but it's something that I think should be very, very interesting. Lots of fun, and I think, you know, informative for me, because obviously you got to teach me something in this podcast. That's the whole reason we set it up, isn't it?
100%, and I think
No, go on, please.
Yeah,
no.
I'd echo that there, Darren.
The lovely host, and let you.
I'd echo that there, Darren. You know, well, in social media, one good thing about social media, even though sometimes it can have its flaws, is that it brings people together. And only for Darren, you setting up the MLP, we probably would have met. You know,
100%. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's one good thing, and also, you know, the one thing I like about you two boys is, Dad, one thing I like about you, and I've often said this, and I'd never be shy in saying it, you are yourself. I love that. I love people who are they are. You know, you're not false. You are Dad. Darren, you know, Darren's the type of guy you turn around to and ask for advice, no problem. And he'll give you good and honest advice. He's been there for me now through hard times as well. So, like, you know, that's what mates are. Mates are there for each other, you know, and respect each other. And I know going forward, these podcast lads, we'll have a bit of laugh. But you know what? If we were to agree on everything, it'd be quite boring. So let's look forward to the ones that we don't agree on, yeah?
Well, you know, we'll both disagree with Dad more often than not.
Who do you think is going to... But come here, I tell you, you only disagree with me just to get a rise out of me. And I know you do that on purpose.
Yeah, so...
But come here, tell me, who do you think is they're going to be the first person to throw a hissy fit on the podcast?
Darren.
Darren, yeah.
Why? Darren, why? Because I'm from Cork.
No. Because Darren's, you're good at
chips on your shoulders.
Look, you know what? I don't really say something unless I believe in it, and I don't do something unless I believe in it, just like anybody else, really. So I'm just like, if you actually, as you mentioned at the beginning there, I have a YouTube channel, and one of my early episodes on that, I had a small bit of a clip at the very end of it of a guy who was actually said something that I was about to say was, he's not shy, and that's Dodd. And I think that's going to be an interesting way for us to go forward, you know. So, yeah, I'm not shy, you know, Dodd's not shy, John's not shy. So guess what? It's going to be, I think, fun times actually to come. I mean, obviously we're getting involved and it's going to be fun, it's going to be interesting. But from our listeners' point of view, I think it's going to be an excellent listen as well. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah,
now,
me too.
John, where do you see yourself photographic-wise in 5 years?
Oh, my God. There's a question to ask on the first episode.
And I didn't want to tell you before this because I wanted this to be 100% off the cuff. I could have told you this earlier, but I didn't want to. I wanted off the cuff, total honest answer. Where would you see yourself photographically in 5 years?
Completely off the cuff. Well, okay, let me have a quick think. In 5 years' time, okay, I'm not going to go into it in this episode, okay? But personally, when I got into landscape photography a long time ago, I quite enjoyed it, right? And like you two boys, it was my go-to place, and I learned a lot. But over time, unfortunately, I lost all that, okay, for one reason or another, and I'm not going to go into why I lost my mojo, I lost the want to go out into the landscape, I got a fear of the landscape. I hit a stage of depression, and a lot of things hit me hard. And that's when, quite honestly, that's when Darren showed his true friendship to me was back then when I was going through that. So I came through all that by studying mindfulness. And I see a big benefit of being mindful, particularly when out in the landscape. And by being mindful in the landscape, to me, brought me back into doing what I love doing best, and that is photographing the landscape. And to become more creative. So to really to answer your question there, Dad, I have started to run mindfulness photography workshops. I would love, and my goal is to have these workshops abroad. When we can go to, when I can bring a group to Cambodia, when I can bring a group to the Arizona, and to valleys that, you know, you wouldn't normally go for more reasons other than taking photographs, and that is for improving your mental health by using your camera as a tool and an aid. So that's where I would like to be. Yes. I would like to be the leading person in mindful photography in 5 years' time.
It's definitely, there's definitely a gap in the market for it, John. And by being friends with you over the last couple of years, you have the right mind for it, which is kind of a cliche, right? But you do. You're very calm, collective. Nothing really ever bothers you. And you're always just really in the moment rather than just taking a photograph. Whereas me, I'm all over the gaff. I just run here, run there, hop over bridges, climb down mountains, do all this. So that side of stuff wouldn't really work for me. But I'd love to give it a try sometime anyway, regardless. But 100%. It probably won't work for me. But do you know what? It works for some people. It doesn't work for other people.
Yeah,
other
it's
people.
All different.
But all different I would benefits. Think that it would actually work for the majority of people. Yeah. It's just I'm a weirdo. Like, you know, I'm not your ordinary kettle of fish, like, you know, that you see.
That's why
day.
We love you, Dad.
True story.
Yeah. True story.
Hashtag.
So, Darren, I'll put the same question to you, buddy. 5 years, where do you see yourself?
Well, I suppose I had a bit of time to think about it there while John was saying his, and to be honest with you, it didn't really help me. So
it probably made it worse.
Yeah, probably did. Yeah. I probably thought about too many things. As you mentioned, you know, photography for me, I'm a hobbyist. It's not what I do to make a living. It's what I do to unwind. And that's what I really like about photography is that, you know, I suppose that's why I've got an akin mindset to John, because when I go off taking photos, I don't have anybody disturbing me. My life is busy as it is generally. So when I'm out taking photos, I don't have phones that can go off or emails that are disturbing me. I can just concentrate on what I'm doing, which is taking the photo. So in that point of view, I want to be able to still be continuing to enjoy and have the passion for photography, which is what brought me into photography, and not get caught up in different ways of thinking on why I should be doing something. I do it not for any reason. I'm not trying to go produce an image to sell it or anything like that. I'm doing it because I want to go out there. But saying that then, how I'd like to have my photography advanced. Well, in 5 years' time, I'd like to have a completely different set of gear. I'd like to be in a different place from where my style of photography is, because I think everybody has a bit of style, but it advances over time. And if I look back 5 years ago, shots that I thought were great, I look back and I go, okay, no, that was nowhere near it. So I imagine in 5 years' time, the shots I'm taking right now, I might have a similar thought. And then the other area is from the YouTube point of view. I do enjoy making YouTube videos. I enjoy sharing the locations that I'm going to, but not only the photos that I take, but how I take them, the scenery that I'm around, and what I'm mainly, I suppose, thinking and feeling at home I'm going to take the shot. And it kind of gives a story behind each of the photos. So I'd like to have that advanced a bit further from a YouTube point of view. And there's not many of us in Ireland that are doing it. From a landscape point of view, and I'd like to be, you know, up there showing people on a weekly basis how I go about taking epic shots, not just good shots, but epic shots. But the problem that you have, I think, Dad, you know, you enjoy doing your vlogs and stuff like that, but where you and I differ is I'll vlog and take photos regardless of the conditions, whereas from your point of view, it has to be perfect, and that's what I know of you. So I enjoy it regardless. I enjoy good or bad. I mean, there's no such thing in my mind in landscape photography as a bad day. There's always something that you can do. There's always something that you can enjoy. And guess what? Even if you don't get a photo, you've had that release. And that's what I really enjoy about photography, landscape photography. So in a nutshell, 5 years from now, I'd hope to be doing it for the same passion, the same reasons that brought me into it, but be advanced and again, yeah, have a lot more of new camera equipment.
Yeah, the whole camera equipment can get pretty expensive quite fast. And we might touch base on that in our next topic. And that's a lovely little segue to our next topic. But first of all, guys, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor. So we'll touch base back here in a couple of minutes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the podcast, guys. John, you still here?
I am here, buddy, yeah. All good.
Good stuff. And Darren, I can't get rid of you. You're like a bad smell. So I'm sure you're there. You're supposed to say, yeah, I'm here. Bye. You played a trick on me there. Anyway, so guys, welcome back to the second topic of today's show. Our topic now is a thing that we've all suffered from more than once, I would say, and it's called gas. And it's not the gas that you may think of that you would make a fart or from your armpit or whatever. Gas is gear acquisition syndrome. Okay. Some people have it. Some people do not. First of all, we might talk about what actually gas is. Darren, have you any idea what gas is?
I've plenty of experience of gas.
And would you like to tell us about what it might be?
It is, if it's shiny, I must have it. It will be mine. Oh, yes, it will be mine.
Okay, so the magpie effect. If it's shiny, you want it. John, what do you think of gas?
Yeah, I've gone through that as well, but it's a good while ago because I'm broke since.
Okay. So, but, guys,
I know what you're talking about, yeah. Be an interesting topic, yeah. Dad.
It is a very interesting topic because it causes a lot of problems and it can help
divorces. Photographers.
And it can it can be the downfall of some photographers. Okay, so gas is when a certain human being would have a problem and always want something new. They're always outgrowing their camera. They're always outgrowing their lens, and they always are never happy with something. They always want to upgrade, so to speak. So, me speaking personally, I genuinely think I have a touch of gas. And it's not just for photography equipment. It is for everything. Like, take my Stag, for instance. At the weekend, we all went surfing. And within 48 hours, I had bought a feckin'... I have bought a surfboard within 48 hours. Like, come on. That's a bit of touch of gas, if I must say so.
If you look up the dictionary for gas after that move, you'll probably see your name after it.
Yeah, very good.
You won't even see my name. You'll just see a picture of me smiling at the side of it.
Yes.
You know? So, the problem for those that suffer from gas is that digital photography provides the perfect excuse to constantly crave new gear. DSLRs are being improved all the time and become obsolete pretty much the moment you take them out of the box. So when is there never a time to upgrade your camera? Like, Sony are bringing out new cameras left, right and centre. There's the three models of the A7R. There's three models of the A7 and there are going to be soon three models of the A7S. And they might have brought out the first one only about, 5 years ago? So that's 9 cameras and the A9, you know, so that's 10 cameras in the last 6 years, so to speak. I could be wrong, but I think that's about it, you know.
Can I jump in there, Dad, for a sec?
Go for it, buddy.
Look, let's call a spade here. Your gas goes, okay? What camera did you have there a few years ago? You had a 60, hadn't you?
I started my photography journey off with a Canon 450D and I outgrew that camera for within 3 months and bought a Canon 60D.
Okay. I had a 60D too. Good camera. And then you went from that to?
A full frame Canon 5D Mark III.
So you went from the 60D, which is a crop frame, to a full frame. So you could justify that, yeah? Correct?
Yeah, I could.
And your
I
business could. Wasn't proven, okay? So you wanted to go on from that. So then you went from the 60 to...
No, I went from the 60D to the 5D Mark III. And then I got a Canon 60 as a second. Or no, sorry, I bought another 5D Mark III because I needed two camera bodies as a wedding photographer. And that's excusable as well. You do need two camera bodies as a wedding photographer.
So now you've gone from the 60, so you improved, you changed your camera to the 5D Mark III. Then you got a second 5D Mark III because you're doing so well with your photography, wedding photography business, you were able to justify it, okay?
Correct. Yeah.
Now, what happens?
I bought a Sony A7S.
Hang on a sec. Did you have a 5D Mark IV or no?
No, I never had a 5D Mark IV. Okay. I never did.
So you went from the 5D Mark III to the Sony?
Sony A7S, yeah.
A7S, okay.
A7S.
Right.
And then video.
For video work. And now, then I bought an A7R Mark II as well.
Okay. And what were the 5D Mark IIIs doing at this stage?
Taking photos at weddings.
And did you need those other two cameras? Hold on a second. This is a yes
There's
or no
a difference
question.
Between
No, it's a yes or no question. Did you need those other two cameras? The first one?
No.
You probably did for the video. I'll let you off of that one. You needed one for the video, yeah? You did.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I'm telling myself I did.
Now, the Sony, went from the Sony then up again, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. So I went for the Sony A7R Mark II, and that can be justified because I wanted to see. I'm falling into this trap here. I wanted to upgrade. I wanted to excel at my landscape photography, and at the time, the Sony A7R Mark II was the cream of the crop landscape camera to have. And like most, I'm falling into this big trap here.
But that's okay. Yeah. You're being honest. But like, I suppose the question you have to ask yourself, and the question we all have to ask ourselves, is: do we need to do it at that particular moment in time? Is there more important things that we could have put the money towards?
Never. No.
Why'd you say that, Darren?
Because if you want something and you have that gear acquisition syndrome, that's all you think about and that's all you want. And you knew and you know that the moment you get it, everything that you're looking for is going to be there. Until next week when something new comes along and that fills the gap in what you need. And it's nothing, I don't think, that's any way different from human psyche. You're dead right when you say that, photography and camera gear put itself very easily towards gas. But everybody has gas of a different shape or form, be it, you know, cars, be it houses, be it clothes, be it whatever it may have been. But the one difficulty with photography is it's damn expensive.
The one question I would have then is like, you know, and there probably will be people listening here, and it, you know, let's call a spade again. It's not a nice thing to have, okay? And there are people, you know, listening, I'm sure, who would be, you know, who would struggle for some money as well, like, you know, so they wouldn't have it, and yet they spend it on that. So what would you say to somebody who has it and does and wants to get rid of it, wants to stop it, basically?
No, I'll jump in there now. So yeah. If I have it, and here's something I talked about before, do I really want to get rid of it? That's another question to ask. Like, do I like having gas? Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Of course you like having gas, so you wouldn't do it otherwise if you didn't like it.
There you go. That's yeah, you're dead right, Darren. I actually like having gas. I like having new things.
Everybody loves having new things. And, you know, the fact that you say, you know, would you want to get rid of it? It would be, it's an addiction. So you can get rid of it, absolutely. But life is an addiction if you enjoy it, or life can be a pain in the backside if you don't. And, you know, people who smoke cigarettes are addicted. Do they know it's bad for them? Yeah, but they still do. But it's the feeling that it gives you. It's the emotional connection that it gives you. And it's basically a short-term fix. And it's a short-term fix that you need to have until the next piece of shiny equipment comes and you want that as well.
Yeah, but that's my question. Like, you know, that's my question. I'm saying, like, you know, everybody has it. 100% agree with that. But the people out there who just might want to break it, you know, and how do they break it? Have we any advice to somebody to give to somebody who wants to break it? I know we all want it, absolutely. I can't go into, I can't walk up O'Connell Street in Limerick because I'll go into Whelan's and I want to buy something. You know?
Okay, well, so there's a few. Go on.
Sorry, I know, Dad. I just want one point on that, right? Is how do you get somebody to break it? Is try and be a realist. So people have gas because they think that the next camera is going to improve their photography. It's going to make them better. It's going to be making them get epic shots. It's going to make them put on the map or whatever it may have been, or whatever their motivation is from taking photos. The reality, if you want to get somebody out of gas, is why? If you say to yourself, will I still use this or will I still want this in 6 months' time? And if you answer yes in regards to that, you still have gas. But if you're realistic and go, you know what, I could wait 6 months because there's going to be another Sony coming out in another 8 months, so I'll skip that one. And it's, you know, it's delayed gratification. And delayed gratification is a skill that people have to learn. But some people don't know about learning it, or some people don't even know that that term would exist, let's just say. You know, I want it, I want it, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, and you fixate in relation to it. So, you know, how do you get rid of it? It's simple. From a photography point of view, having the best gear is not going to make you a better photographer.
Okay. Yeah, your trip. Your trip. Now, there's a few things that I looked up online on how to help yourself to relieve yourself from gear acquisition syndrome. Okay, so number one would be let someone else control your credit card. So your spouse or your significant other, you give them their card. And look, you can't buy anything without your card, more or less. Unless you're dealing cash with some dodgy customers or something, then you can buy whatever you want, all right?
Would you do that, Dad?
Would I what? Give my car to the missus?
Yeah.
Not a hope. Not a hope, boy. Because then I can't feed myself ever, I'm telling you. So, because these things can cause problems. Like, if there's friction within your family or in your home and you keep buying stuff and then the missus find out, oh, he's after spending more money. Like, you could be at a certain stage with your family, whereas if you spend one more thing, you're out the door. And it does, these things happen. It mightn't just be for camera equipment, it could be for anything.
Absolutely. Okay. That was my point earlier, that's what I was trying to make earlier. Some people will want to break this for those very, very reasons, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, number two, we have a buy new stuff rule. So, if you give yourself a certain amount of money, a cap that you can spend yearly, okay, on photography equipment, like €1,000, or if you could never put another cap saying, I can only buy two things for the whole of 2018. So that's another way that you can help yourself to get around that problem. Number three would be read old reviews on the stuff you already own. And why you would do that is to fall in love with the equipment that you have again. Do you get me? So
I do.
Like, we've all done it. So, but before we buy anything, we always watch YouTube and we see what, oh my God, this lens can do that. This lens can do this and all this. And oh, I can't wait to get it. And the second you get it, you will never watch another YouTube video about that product ever again.
Unless you want to figure out how to use it.
You're right there. You're right. So to get love back for that piece of equipment again, why don't you just go away and watch another clip or another YouTube video about that lens and then kind of drive yourself to do something again with it. You know, what do you think of that?
Yeah, yeah. Agree, 100%.
Good, good. So there's another thing here called more stuff, more problems. So the more lenses you have or more lights you have, the more complications it brings to life. Like, do you know, if I buy more clothes, I need more room in my closet. If I buy a new camera, I have to buy more drives, do you know, and upgrading your computer. And so I need a new Mac, I need a new hard drive, do you know. So think of it from that point of view, that the more stuff I have, the more problematic it's going to be. Number five, expect to get used to it. Okay, so that part is, how do I pronounce this? Hedonic adaptation. Yeah. It's a psychological process in which we all get used to anything material thing we buy, any upgrade in our lifestyle or any good or bad event that happens in our life. If we win the lotto, we are all excited for a week and then realize the stress of winning the lottery. Family coming out of the woodwork who feel entitled to that money, people trying to scheme you for money and so on and so forth. Like, so again, something similar to the last point of view. Here's another good one, another good tip to maybe get rid of gas, rent or borrow gear. Like I was talking to Darren there a while ago, I floated the idea of getting a DJI Osmo last week. Okay, what do I need it? Absolutely not. No way. So Darren said to me there, we're talking about his Osmo, and he said he's just left it up on the shelf. Doesn't even touch it anymore. So I said, okay, I'm going to borrow it off you for maybe a week or two and see how I get on with it.
It's no good. It's no good. It's no good for vlogging.
Excuse me, guys. I think of a frog in my throat. Maybe that's the gas. That's the gas. Get it. Excuse me, Jesus. It's not for the vlogging that I want it for, Darren. It's for other stuff. So, but yes, I will be taking it anyway. Thank you very much. Now, renting gear. Where we are in the world, in Ireland, there's not much place that you can rent that I know of. I've never went to look about renting. Have you ever rented gear or anything like that?
No, I've never rented gear. No.
Cars.
Gear.
You've borrowed what?
I've borrowed gear. I've borrowed gear off you, Dad, flashes, but I've never rented gear. Yeah. Never got in or rented.
You still have that flash blank to
me. I do, yeah.
Damn. You should have said a word. You shouldn't have said a word.
Do you know why you didn't miss that flash, Dad? It's because you have 7 or 8 of them on your shelf behind you.
Shush, shush. All right. 7, realize cameras are more similar than dissimilar. Do you understand that?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah, so
it's a psychological thing, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, you know, so let's just say, like, I upgraded my camera all the time, all right? But they're all the same. It's the same person behind the lens taking the picture all the time. Okay, so the only thing that would be different would be the lens. Okay, so, and I would always say invest in your lenses before buying new bodies. Spend what you have when you have, but be very careful about it. So the lenses always replace themselves. Glass doesn't replace themselves as much. Number eight, need versus want. This is very, very interesting. Okay, what is the difference between need and want? Darren?
I think I said it earlier on as well, you know, that if you think you need it, that's one thing. If you think you want it, that's what's actually driving you. So will you still need this or use this or feel passionate about this in 6 months' time? The answer is, in reality, as you said a second ago, you just get something and it's old. The moment you open the box, it's old. It's no longer new. You get a small bit of excitement out of it, but you get used to it and it becomes the norm. And it's no longer as shiny as it was when you saw it on the YouTube channel or you saw it in the box when you first opened it, and you get used to it. But then something new comes along.
Very true, very true. So number nine and our last point, okay, is compare your cost for experiences. Okay, yeah. So my example for this is I bought a Sigma Art 150 to 600 mil lens. Okay, how many times did I use it?
You used it on me. You took a nice photo of me with it.
It's worth every penny, so.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
How much did you spend on that, Dodd?
So I must have used... That lens cost me €1,200.
And you could have got a round trip international ticket for the family there for that, couldn't you, really?
I could have, yeah. Don't tell Trish.
Too late now. She'll listen to the podcast, Dad.
I'm not leaving her listen to this podcast. You man, she'll kill me. I bought that lens and I didn't need that lens. I thought I was going to photograph all these cool surfers and do all this and do that. And I'd say I photographed that lens 10 times. Now, I realised it wasn't being used, so I did. I traded in against an 85mm 1.2 lens. So, yeah, I spent more money again, but I'm getting a lens back in return that I will use on a weekly basis. So, I'm happy with that.
Actually, I just remember something there. I'll be blatantly honest with you. When I was over in China, I went in and I had the 60D while I was over there. And I went into a store, a good reputable store over there. It would have been like Barker's or Whelan's equivalent. And I bought the 6D. And I had it paid for, and Elaine, my wife, was with me at the time. The kids were there, and you know, it took a little bit of convincing. I was telling her that it was a bit of an investment. Okay, I think we use that word an awful lot in photography. It's an investment in gear. So I bought the 6D, and as I turned to walk away, I saw the 70-200 Mark II 2.8 there looking at me.
Buy me.
And it was about 800-900 euro cheaper than it would be back here at home.
It's an investment.
I turned and I said to Elaine, it's an investment. So the moral story is I did use the excuse as an investment, but it was an investment. And I think like when you're spending money on that kind of gear that costs that much money, in retrospect, they are investments because you can go trade them up, you can go rent them in. And it may not cost you as much then when you're buying your next lens or your next body. Or is that just an excuse, lads, to get this gas syndrome?
I'll jump in here on that and I'll say one thing. Camera bodies will always be upgraded. Camera lenses will not. Spend your money on your lenses and you can use them on different bodies. And I think that is a bit of advice, actually, that I heard in one of the episodes that I recorded of In the Landscape Photographer Profiles. I think it was Emer, actually, that had said it. Emer Collins is an Irish photographer. She's a landscape photographer, a brilliant photographer. But one thing she said on that was, on the top tips, or the best advice, one of the two, was invest in your glass. Because... John, you know what? It's shiny. You see the 70-200 2.8. Wow, it's much cheaper. I'm going to have that. You still have it. And you no longer have your 60D. Well, you still do, but you use your 60. And when you change to the next camera or the next mirrorless camera, your glass will be there. So that's one thing I will say, that from gear acquisition syndrome, otherwise known as GAS, in photography, lenses is something that will stand by you.
Darren?
Yeah, to do the...
I feel so much better now. I got to tell herself that I wasn't spoofing.
You can let your wife listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
No, don't.
She's a great girl.
So So, guys, I think we've flogged that horse to death. But just one last kind of exit point about it. Okay, look, having all the gear in the world can't give you an eye for photography. So the next time you start getting tempted by something new, step away for a moment and just think about it. What it will actually do, add to your photography, only you will know. But only if it's something that's going to really help you with your work should you really invest, to be totally honest with you.
100%.
So we're just going to leave that there, guys, and we're going to move on now to our next our special segment. Okay, it's called a VSP. So for our future all our listeners, this VSP is very solid product. It's an exciting segment, guys, that we bring to you is about our gear reviews, and we could have some really exotic things to review, and we could have really cheap things to review also. So my choice of product this week is the Kingston FCR-HS4, okay? We'll put a link to this on our Facebook page and where you can buy it, okay? What it actually is a super fast media card reader. So it's very small. It's only about 9 centimeters by 5 centimeters. And it's dead handy. You can bring it absolutely anywhere with you. It's, it can read SD cards, micro SD cards, CF cards, and MS Duo cards. Okay, I don't even know what an MS Duo card is, really, to be honest with you. But do you know what it is?
No, I can't help you there.
Darren, do you know what an MS Duo is?
I'm from Cork, I don't know anything.
I suppose we have to teach you everything anyway. So some of my points, guys, is that it's very portable and very small, and you can plug it into absolutely any computer. So you can plug it into Mac, you can plug it into Windows. It's USB 3.0 and 2.0 also. And it's very affordable. It's only €20 delivered to your door. So it's not going to break the bank, guys. Would you be interested in something like that?
I would too. I would be interested in that because the one thing that I use the iMac here, and I'm, you know, if I want to change USBs or stick in my SD cards, you're reaching in behind and so on. So I presume this just sits on your desk then, and you can just reach over and put it in without any issues, leaning over and knocking it over.
There's no, like it is in via USB, but if you were to plug in another USB, you still have to pull out your computer. So keep that in mind, okay? So, but you don't ever have to turn the computer around to the side, where on the Macs, you have to put in your SD from the side. So you don't have to move it, okay? Now, I'll give you from statistics, from some tests that I ran myself, okay? So if I dumped my, I'm using SanDisk Extreme Pro cards, right? I always spend the best money I can on my cards because as a wedding photographer, if something goes wrong, you're in big trouble. You're going to have a bride breathing down your throat and looking for a photograph, and then you can't say, oh, my file got corrupted. Okay, so you must need the best cards you can get. So if I, this is just a little test. I had 5.84 gigs of information on my card, right? So I dumped all those 5.84 gigs into my Mac via the SD card reader on the Mac, okay? I wouldn't have the most up-to-date Mac like the 2E guys because they've loads of money. So it took me 4 minutes and 21 seconds to ingest that onto my Mac from the Mac, okay? Now, by using the Kingston card reader, I ingested all that information from the card reader to the Mac in 2 minutes 32 seconds.
Did you?
That's pretty cool.
The SD card is in the back of the Mac directly, yeah?
Yes, the direct Mac, that was the first one for 4 minutes 20 seconds.
Okay.
21 seconds.
And then the Kingston is via USB and it's USB 3.
Yes, USB 3 or 2.0.
Okay, so it's going to be USB 2 or 3 that's probably going to be faster than the SD card reader in your Mac. So regardless of having the latest Mac, it's the speed of the USB, I think, that's going to transfer it quicker. Maybe?
Okay. Yeah, I get you.
So, Darren, you surprised me there, Darren. That's very knowledgeable.
For someone from Cork. And the other question, I suppose, for you is, how many SD cards can I stick into it in one go?
You can stick in a CF, an SD.
How many SDs?
And one SD.
So what difference is that going to make for me than the SD card I already have in the computer?
Well, I shoot with a Canon 5D Mark III, so I have a CF card and an SD card, and takes photographs on both, so it's ideal for me.
Okay.
So I can plug in both cards at the one time and ingest all at the one time.
Yeah, that's handy.
So it makes sense to me. Now, I also have a DJI Inspire, so that takes a micro SD card. At the same time, I can ingest from that also, so I can run three, well, if I wanted to, technically four if I shot in an MS Duo, but I don't. I don't even know what it is. So primarily I could ingest with three cards all at one time if I wanted to.
All through the one USB?
All through the one USB, yeah. Yes.
At the same time?
Yeah. At the same time.
That's powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a Kingston product out there that will allow me to put in multiple SD cards? Because one of the things I notice is that I'm shooting from my main body camera, I'm shooting from my G7X, I'm shooting from my drone, I'm shooting from my GoPro. So if I want to import my files after I come back from a shoot, from a vlog or whatever, I have to do them all independently. Is there a thing there that allow me to plug in four SD cards and bang, ingest them all, as you call it? Really, that's a very creative word, I have to say, into the computer in one go.
I don't know, to be totally honest, John, and I will actually do some homework and I will get back to you and I'll let the listeners go as soon as I find out. But I do have a thing called a Lexar Hub. It's a professional work for HR1, okay? Now, I did some tests with the card, to ingest the card via that also, right? And that got 2 minutes 47 seconds. So the Kingston was still 15 seconds faster than the Lexar Hub.
Wow.
Now, with the Lexar Hub, okay, it's like a workstation. And with that, then if you have four, you can have four slots and you can slot in different things. So you can put in CF, SD, you can even put in hard drives onto it, okay, 512 gig hard drive. But if you wanted to buy four SD cards, card readers, then you can ingest four cards all at once, SD-wise. But, Darren, you're looking at a big, hefty cost.
Yeah. Hey, it's photography, man.
Yeah.
So like, he's got a bit of gas as well.
He's got gas.
But still can't get rid of that gas, can you?
The hub itself to run these things is 120 euros.
How much?
Just for the hub. 120 euros just for the hub, the Lexar Hub.
Right.
And then the card reader itself then is another 35 euros each. So if you wanted two SD card readers, that's 70 euros. So that's a big, hefty price. Whereas if you get the Kingston thing, the card reader, that's 20 euros, literally. That's postage included to your front door from the UK. You're not getting it from China where it takes 4 weeks to get here. And you don't know if it's actually legit or not. Okay, so you're getting it from UK, and it's from 7 Day Shop, which we all know. Okay, they're great to deal with. You always get nice and fast post, so it's going to you're almost guaranteed it's going to be there. You know. So would that interest you guys? 20 euros.
I probably would not interested at the moment because I'm not like Darren. I don't understand where Darren's coming from. His dual SD card slots. I just use the one at the moment. It's not a big deal for me to slot it into the Mac the way I have it positioned. But I can understand if I was running my SD and my micro SD together and I wanted to do it nice and quickly. Yeah. But you know me, anyways. You know I'm quite laid back and slow and ready, so I'm happy just to let those things load up. No rush for me.
Yeah, Darren, would you be interested in this?
I don't know. I only shoot in one type of card currently. The camera that I use is a Canon 6D. Everything is SD cards. I have no need for all the other ones. The only reason I might buy it would be to be able to do multiple downloads from different cards. Now, one thing you said there, John, about the USBs on the back of the Mac, and the Mac is quite, you know, well equipped for me. I think it has four of them. But four isn't enough for me. There's three at the back of my ones that are constantly used. I left one free. So what I bought was a 8-port USB 3 hub that sits on the front of my desk, and that gives me 8 USB connections. And even right now, I've 5 of them used. There's 3 of them spare, and I can plug different things in as need be. So would I buy it, Dad? For 20 euro, possibly if I felt the need for different cards. But right now, for me, from a landscape point of view and the cameras that I have, not for me.
Okay. Now, just one more last point, so there, guys. The Kingston, I can't find anywhere in Ireland to buy it, so I think you would have to buy it on Amazon or eBay. Okay. I have looked on Barker Photographic website. I've looked on Whelan's website, and it's not on them. So you'd have to buy it from eBay, to be totally honest.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe next time in which I'll have a look at yours and see how it sits. Like, maybe put a picture of it, actually. Maybe you said that, John, a second ago, but put a picture of it up on the group as well, so that we can see what it looks like.
Yeah, so we'll put the pictures up on the Facebook page, and we'll stick a link there to where I actually bought it myself. And yeah, that's it for today's show, guys. We really hope you enjoyed the show. And to Darren and John, my lovely co-host, thank you very much for coming on today. And we look forward to talking again next week.
You're very welcome, Dad. We'll catch up with you soon, pal. All right. Talk to you soon, Darren.
All right. See you later, guys. Slánga fóill.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.